afternoon and welcome to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Today is Thursday, March 26, 2015. And here with us today is Vice Chair Senator Giesel, Senator Meyer, and Senator Stevens, and Senator Ellis is unable to make today's meeting. The time is 1:34. Today on the agenda we have three bills. Senate Bill 14 we will take first, which is the State Medical Board and Medical Board Review. Senate Bill 86, the Refined Fuel Surcharge and Motor Fuel Tax, will be next. And then we will lastly look at Senate Bill 2. And the intent is to move all three bills out today. So appreciate the members being here with that. Senate Bill 14, this is the second hearing. Public testimony is closed. And we do have a committee substitute. Senator Giesel.
Madam Chair, I move the committee adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill number 14, version 29LS0025/EECHO as the working document.
Okay, thank you. And my aide, Weston Eiler, will explain the changes in the committee substitute.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'll object for purposes of hearing the
thank you.
Changes.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. For the record, Weston Eiler, staff to Senator Costello and the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. The working draft before you, /E, makes a few changes that I'll explain to Senate Bill 14. Beginning on page one, section one, line 11 on the original legislation, it changes two to one and persons to person. It then on page 4, section 5, this is the repealer sections that the sponsor of the bill requested be removed in the committee substitute relating to defibrillators and other issues that are being taken care of in another piece of legislation. And finally, Madam Chair, on page 4, section 6 through 7, line 14 and 15, it amends the effective date to 3/1/17. In effect, Madam Chair, the committee substitute does two things. It changes the composition of the State Medical Board from what was suggested in the bill to retaining the number on the current board of 8. It then sunsets one of the public seats on the State Medical Board. That seat and the current occupant of that seat, their term will expire in March of 2017. That person is not eligible for a subsequent term on the medical board, and so to accommodate the compromise of adding a licensed paramedic to the board, that seat will be sunsetted, and thus the changes to the effective date. So basically, Madam Chair, in summary, sunsets a public seat to make room for a paramedic on the State Medical Board, retaining the overall number of the State Medical Board at 8, that section of the bill taking effect in March of 2017. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And Senator Meyer, would you like to remove your objection?
I remove my objection. Yeah. Thank you.
So we have before us the CS for Senate Bill 14. I want to thank you, Weston, for that explanation, and wanted to share with the committee. We went back and looked at licensing boards and the membership, because what we are doing, as Weston explained, is taking one of the two public members and having one of those become the EMT seat once that person who serves no longer can be reappointed, which then explains that fiscal note of March 1st, 2017. And when we looked back, there are 12 licensing boards within the state of Alaska that have one public seat on their board. And so with that, I wanted to ask if there were any questions for Mr. Eiler. Senator Giesel.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. You know, usually on a board, you like to have an odd number for voting purposes, right? And I recognize that there are boards with only one public member. And yet, as a former regulatory board member, I am aware that those public folks are actually the consumers that speak to a consumer issue on a regulatory board. And certainly the medical profession is heavily, to have only one public member on it is somewhat concerning to me. I understand that probably you reduced it to keep the number 8 so that the cost for that board would not go up. Because when you add another member to a board, you have travel expenses and per diem that would add to the cost of that board. But I'm just, for the record, have concern about only having one public member.
Thank you for that. And another concern that would drive, you know, the reason for keeping the number the same was also that the balance of the board. So if you see, for example, with the Board of Dental Examiners, the designated seats with, or the industry seats, if you want to call it that, are 8, and then there's one public member. And, for example, Board of Chiropractic Examiners, 4 versus 1. And so by approaching it in this manner, we're keeping the medical presence on the board sort of more in line with the other boards in boards and commissions. But any other comments or questions?
Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens.
Sort of a philosophical one, and maybe you can help me understand this. For example, the University of Alaska, any university, to be promoted to a full professor, you're only judged by those other full professors, not by the assistant professors down at the beginning of their career. So I guess with my concern, and maybe I'm totally wrong on this, but here we're talking about surgeons physicians, and they will be, their licensing decisions, their disciplinary action will all be handled by this board, which includes a paramedic. And I guess I'm just wondering, does that make sense?
Madam Chair, if I might, we do have Jordan Schilling from the sponsor, Senator Coghill's office. He's worked extensively with some of the stakeholders and kind of may be able to speak to Senator Stevens' questions about kind of the overall licensing and some of the other issues that is delved into in this bill.
Certainly.
Does anybody else see my point, or is it?
Senator Giesel.
I share somewhat the concern as well. This really diversifies the composition of a professional regulatory board. And so, yes, I share the concern.
Mr. Schilling, would you like to come forward and introduce yourself and respond to the concern that you've heard?
For the record, Jordan Schilling, staff to Senator Coghill. Through the chair, Senator Stevens, we've heard that concern before, that they are, that because they receive less education, that maybe they would not be qualified to be making some of these calls. But it's our view that it's different than kind of the relationship between a professor and an associate professor. These are two entirely different disciplines. Pre-hospital medicine is very different than in the clinical setting. And so, we just feel strongly, along with all the paramedics in the state, that if this board is to regulate their profession, that they ought to have a voice on the board.
Senator Giesel.
So that's certainly a good argument, and yet the counter to that is you're right. They're very different professions. And so how would someone who is a pre-hospital professional understand the issues of a person that is in hospital profession? It just, again, creates a concern.
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Giesel, agreed. And I think that the paramedics might interject and say that the physicians might not necessarily be qualified to regulate their profession without them having a voice at the table. So really, we're proposing adding one voice out of 8. I'm sure some similar discussions were had when the legislature contemplated adding PAs to the board. A PA is a lesser degree of education than a physician. In fact, they actually work under the physician's license. So we understand, kind of that line of thinking. Just clearly, though, we just feel that they should have a seat at the table.
Senator Kiesel.
So again, just the counter-argument, not that I'm meaning to argue, but in the past, paramedics actually were trained by physicians, and that, of course, was in my early days of clinical practice. And it is true that PAs have a lesser education, but they are overseen. They are accountable to a physician. So there is a relationship there, whereas I'm not sure that exists so much with the paramedics. So I almost could argue, honestly, for a separate paramedic board, quite honestly.
Through the chair, Senator Diesel, in my discussions with paramedics, I think that they would be very satisfied to have a board that regulated EMTs along with paramedics, and right now they're split up. Absolutely.
And Senator Stevens?
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. I have nothing against paramedics, and at some moment I may need them desperately. So I'm not trying to make them look bad at all. But, have you heard at all from physicians in the state? Have they taken any position on this, and have we asked them to?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, you know, the physicians that have served on the state medical board in the past have been supportive. You know, this committee heard testimony from some physicians in support. So, yeah, and in fact, honestly, we haven't received opposition from an individual physician other than their guild.
Thank you.
And Senator Stevens, we do have documentation that the AMA, Alaska Medical Board, does support this version of the bill. And then I did also want to point out, in relation to your, in relating to your question, Senator Giesel, because the effective date is not immediate, it is 2017. Essentially, there will be no changes until that date, and if then that does provide a window of opportunity for any further discussion regarding, you know, the proposal of having a separate board. So, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, listening to my colleagues here, they've got me convinced that maybe this isn't the right way to go. However, I do think that they probably should have their own separate board, but I don't think we want to create another board and an additional expense at this particular time. So I think with them, with us having a two-year window here and with them being a minority voice on this board, it's probably, in my opinion, it's probably the best way to go forward at this point in time.
Thank you. And in regards to the fiscal impact, this bill does have a $7,000 receipts services, and we discussed as a committee earlier that we would move the bill with the fiscal note and let the next committee address how this change will probably allow for the zeroing out of the fiscal note. Senator Giesel?
Sure, and that's appropriate, Madam Chair. Equally, remember, these boards have to be self-supporting, so I suspect this $7,000, yes, it is in receipt services.
Yes.
You can see that.
Mm-hmm.
So the board itself will pay for this. The licensees will pay for it, just as they would pay for a separate paramedic board. Thank you.
Thank you, and certainly the issue of boards and commissions is never an easy one. I used to be the deputy director of boards and commissions, and I can tell you that each one of these licensing boards has their own internal issues and balance that we are always striking to achieve. You can't just have the same equation for every board. So I appreciate your comments, Senator Giesel. Any further questions from committee members? Okay. Seeing none, Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move the CS for Senate Bill 14, version 29, LS0025/E, echo from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Any objection? Seeing no objection, so moved. With that, we'll take a brief at ease to sign the documentation. Thank you. The Senate Labor and Commerce Committee is being called back to order. And next on the agenda, we have Senate Bill 86, the Refined Fuel Surcharge and Motor Fuel Tax. And this is the second hearing for this bill. Public testimony is closed. The intention is to adopt a committee substitute and then look to the will of the committee with the hope that we could move this out today. Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the committee adopt the CS for Senate Bill 86, version 29, LS0675S Sierra, as a working document.
And I'll object for the sake of discussion. With that, I would like to invite Larry from Senator Michicki's office to come forward and explain the changes in the committee substitute.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Larry Simmons, staff to Senator Michicki. There are three main changes in the CS. The first one is that fuel sold to the state for official use will be exempt from the surcharge. Second is dealing with statutory language that is no longer applicable due to a five-year limitation. It revolves around alcohol in fuel. And third, adding surcharge in Section 6, which is the collection section of the bill.
Okay. With that, I will remove my objection, and we will adopt the committee substitute as the working document before the committee. Do any members have questions for Larry? Okay. Senator Giesel.
Just a comment, Madam Chair. I think this is great solution to a long-standing problem, so I appreciate the bill.
Thank you. And we also have before you a red line version so that you can see the changes. In our previous committee hearing, we did not review the fiscal note from the Department of Revenue, so I'd like to invite Ken Alper up, who's the Tax Division Director, to explain the revenue fiscal note.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and thank you for having me back. For the record, my name is Ken Alper, A-L-P-E-R. I'm the Director of the Tax Division, the Department of Revenue. And you have before you the Department of Revenue's fiscal note. It's a relatively straightforward arithmetic exercise. We know, based on prior reporting, how much motor fuel is used and how much refined fuel is used in the state. Based on our motor fuel filings, by backing out those exemptions which are repeated in this bill, we were able to calculate approximately the number of gallons that would be subject to this surcharge. We came up with a number of around 950 million gallons based upon an 8/10 of a cent surcharge. That's where we got the $7.7 million fiscal note. Roughly 2% growth in the years as they go on, assuming sort of underlying growth in the background economy, that there'll be more fuel use in general throughout Alaska.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Alper? Seeing none, thank you, Ken. Appreciate that. We also have online Kristen Ryan, the Director of the Division of Spill Prevention and Response, if members have any questions for Ms. Ryan. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, for Ms. Ryan. Ms. Ryan, I hope this additional revenue doesn't disincentivize going after the cost causers, because I guess I'm a true believer in those who create the cost should pay for the cost. And I guess I don't want us just, hate to use this word, but get lazy, not pursue these folks that are causing the pollution, but just because now you've got a additional revenue coming in. So if you could, on the record, tell us that you will aggressively go after the cost causers.
For the record, this is Kristen Ryan, the Director for the Division of Spill Prevention and Response. Senator Meyer, through the chair, we have an existing statute that says we shall do cost recovery, and that is not changing in this legislation. So there continues to be an expectation that we will pursue people who are capable of paying our costs for spill prevention and response.
Madam Chair.
Senator Meyer.
Yeah, just to follow up, and I don't have the information here in front of me now, but I remember in looking at this in the past that some of the cost causers or some of the polluters here are ourselves, the state of Alaska, whether it be the Alaska Railroad or it be DOT. So, I don't know how, somehow we need to, you know, make sure our own house is clean too before we start pursuing other folks.
Senator Meyer, to the chair, yes, state-owned contaminated sites are a problem, and we have tried a variety of different ways to address that problem in the past that are now off the table. For example, the most recent solution was using general funds to work on those sites, and that's clearly not going to work anymore. So we internally are trying to come up with a plan that is going to work for our state sister agencies as well as ourselves to make sure that sites are meeting the same standards that we're holding the private entities to, and that's just an issue we do need to grapple with as we move forward with our contaminated site work.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, Ms. Ryan. You heard me rant and rave the last time over Secretary Jewell and the federal government and the travesty wells and how they're making sure that private sector doesn't pollute, but yet we don't set a very good example. So I just want to make sure the state of Alaska doesn't follow that same path.
Understood.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Ms. Ryan? Before we move the bill out, I just want to say thank you to Senator Michicki for bringing this forward. I certainly had visits to my office about the urgency of this legislation, and it was probably a long time in the making, and appreciate your efforts in moving this through the process. Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the CS for Senate Bill 86, version 29LS0675/S-Sierra from this committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Okay. Any objection? Okay, seeing no objections, so moved, and we'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. Welcome back. The Labor and Commerce Committee is now hearing Senate Bill 2. This is the second hearing. The intent is to adopt the committee substitute and then look to the will of the committee with the hope of moving it out today. And welcome Senator Wilkowski and your aide, Calissa Maley. Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the committee adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill 2, version 41/P, PAPA, as a working document.
And I'll object for sake of discussion. And if we could have the sponsor or your staff explain the changes, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Bill Wilkowski, State Senator for East Anchorage and Joint Base Almanor Richardson. And with me is Calissa Maley for my staff. And just a couple minor changes, which my staff can go over if that's okay with you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. This is Calissa Maley, staff to Senator Wilkowski. Two things we did, we discussed our intent in the last committee hearing. So we removed spouses and domestic partners. We narrowed the scope of this bill a little bit to just extend the voluntary employment preference to veterans. And then we also beefed up the definition of veteran to include National Guard members and members of reserve units. I'd also like to put on the record, there was one question from the committee about Coast Guard members and whether they were included. They are included under the definition of the Armed Forces of the United States. I consulted with the Department of Law and the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs to get that clarified.
Senator Stevens, is that satisfying?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. I should have known that, but it's good to have it explained.
Are there any questions from committee members? Okay, no questions. You're off easy. So with that, I want to thank the sponsor for bringing this legislation before the body, Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the committee, I move the CS for Senate Bill 2, version 29LS0041/PPAPA from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Any objection? Okay, seeing no objection, so moved. And with that, I want to mention that our next meeting will be Tuesday of next week at 1:30, and the agenda will be forthcoming. With that, the meeting is adjourned.